from Apollo 8. And they ended... Hello, I have sound. Could you not hear me before? Sorry. Right. In which they show pictures of the Earth and the Moon seen from Apollo 8 and ended the broadcast with the crew taking turns reading from the first chapter of Genesis. Do any of you remember that? No? Well, it had a profound effect on me. I just found it so very moving. Some people, of course, took offence at this being done, but that's what happens sometimes when people talk about God. But when we were able to see the coloured pictures of our planet, the planet created by God, how it looked from space, it was just awesome. And my first reaction was amazement at the colour, because I really didn't expect it to look so blue. Because don't forget, we didn't know then what the Earth looked like. And that's just so amazing, isn't it, that we could actually look at our planet created by God. Today, we're looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, where we find another beginning. Earlier, we discovered some of the many names of Jesus, the names that he was known of, and they're lots. In this opening chapter of John, we read, "In the beginning was the Word." For the believer, John's Gospel brings a deep appreciation of who Jesus Christ is. It was written later than the other three Gospels. And it shows us of how we can know and experience Jesus today. And so here's another idea for something to do during the holidays. How about doing some holiday reading and reading John right through to perhaps get to know Jesus even more than you do now? So let's all turn to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and page 1063, where John paints a picture of Jesus as the Word of God, and in that image, four truths are revealed. Firstly, he is the constant Word of God. At the start of verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And in verse 2, "He was with God in the beginning." This makes it absolutely clear that Jesus has always existed. He didn't just come into being when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. He was there at the beginning, before creation took place, and he has been here throughout all the endless ages of eternities past, and is with us still through the Holy Spirit. And one day, he, the Word, will come again. And we can thank God that Jesus is the constant, unchanging Word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, the verse that's up there, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." In a changing world, we can trust our unchanging Lord Jesus. He will never fail us nor leave us. And those are words from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 28, just after he told his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, he said, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." And we all have problems in life. And you know, it's such a blessing as a Christian to know that we're not on our own, not just with our friends, but that we have our Lord Jesus with us in all the circumstances of our lives. And that's not just pie in the sky or wishful thinking, it's true. And I've experienced this, and I'm sure many of you have too. Secondly, he is the communing Word. Verse 1 continues, "And the Word was with God." And in verse 2 again, "He was with God in the beginning." Jesus was present in the heavenlies, in the presence of God, perfectly reflecting all that God is, yet standing as a distinct person. The Word, Jesus Christ, was with God. Jesus Christ wasn't an afterthought with God. He wasn't something conjured up when things got out of control. Jesus was there when God moved to make human beings in his image. Genesis 1 verse 26 tells us God said, "Let us make man in our image." And Jesus the Word was there in Genesis 1 verse 2 when the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Jesus, the communing Word, lived in communion with the Father and the Spirit. And here we see the Trinity in existence from the beginning, before even the world was made. He's also the controversial Word. The end of verse 1 says, "And the Word was God." When Jesus came preaching repentance, saying, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news," as he did in Mark chapter 1, people thought he was strange. When he began to heal and perform miracles, people thought he was a prophet sent by God, as happened in John 3 verse 2, when Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him." When he spoke the word of God with power, people thought he was amazing. Luke 4 verse 36 tells us that after Jesus had cast a demon from a man in the town of Galilee, all the people were amazed, and they said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out." However, when Jesus claimed equality with God, men thought he was crazy and blasphemous. When Jesus had been brought before Pilate, who ordered him to be flogged, but said he could find no basis for a charge against him, the Jewish leaders insisted, as John 19 verse 7 says, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." Then Jesus had stopped being a blessing and become a controversy. He made no secret of being the Son of God or of being God. In John 14, he'd been teaching his disciples he was the way, the truth and the life, telling them that no one could come to the Father except through him. But Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus responded, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And people still grapple with this. They are willing to accept the humble Christ, the teaching Christ, the meek Christ, the dead Christ even, the serving Christ, meaning that dead Christ is not dead, of course, because we know he rose from the dead, the serving Christ. However, people seem to struggle with Jesus Christ as God and man. Paul sums this up beautifully in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. This is a really beautiful passage. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." This is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God himself. In these verses, Paul states in clear and concise language the fact that Jesus existed before Bethlehem, that he willingly humbled himself and came to this world in the condition of a servant, and yet he was still God. And he is the creative Word. Verse 3 says, "Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. This verse tells us that Jesus was the energy behind the creation of the universe. He spoke and it was. He stood on the edge of nothing and spoke all of this into existence. Colossians chapter 1, which tells us of the supremacy of Christ, says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I want to read to you some words from the introduction to John in my Life Application Bible. These words are fantastic. "He spoke and galaxies whirled into place. Stars burned in the heavens and planets began orbiting their suns. Words of awesome, unlimited, unleashed power. He spoke again and the waters and the lands were filled with plants and creatures, running, swimming, growing, breathing, pulsing life. Again he spoke and man and woman were formed, thinking, speaking, loving. Words of personal and creative glory. Eternal, infinite, unlimited, he was, is, and always will be the maker and Lord of all that exists. And then he came in flesh to a speck in the universe called planet Earth. The mighty creator became a part of the creation, limited by time and space, and susceptible to aging, sickness and death. But love propelled him, and so he came to rescue and save those who were lost, and to give them the gift of eternity. He is the Word. He is Jesus, the Christ. He is God." These four truths, Jesus, the constant Word, the communing Word, the controversial Word, and the creative Word, taken as one, give us the clear teaching that Jesus is the pre-existent Word of God. He has always been, and he always will be. And we can thank God that there will never be a day throughout eternity that doesn't include Jesus. No matter where or what we have to face as we travel through this world, we can rest assured that the pre-existent one is and always be there for us. He is the pre-existent Word of the living God. And let's not forget, as I said just now, that he was the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, the Word, the name above all names, healer, redeemer, restorer, saviour, shepherd, friend, Lord of all. Today and every day, Jesus is unchanging. He is the Word of God manifested to us in his time on earth and continually manifested in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. He is forever steadfast and immovable. He was present at the foundation of the world, at the fall of man, and clearly seen by all during the redemptive work of the cross. This same Jesus is here for us today, accessible to the one who is yet to believe, and walking faithfully with the one who already believes by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, as we've already seen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We are afforded an incredible opportunity to know the one who was, is, and will be always, and will always be, I should have said, who is more, more than able to work in our lives for his glory. May you know his working in your life, and come what may, good or bad, may you always know, may we always know, that we can always trust him completely. Amen.